Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Bob Leonard of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We're right here in the studio for you to answer your questions on any legal subject. We're injury attorneys, but this show is for you. We're glad to do it, and we'll take questions and on any subject. It doesn't matter if it's estates, landlord-tenant, real estate, property line disputes, neighbor disputes, dog issues. We'll handle your questions. 303-713-8255, 713-8255. We'll be glad to do it. So you can give us a call anytime, and we'll get it right on your questions and right on your issues. Today at 10 o'clock, don't forget about our KOA, 8:50 a.m., one-hour-long injury show. That's the Champions of the People injury show. Today we're talking about Xarelto, and Xarelto is manufactured by Bayer. There's Xarelto and Pradaxa, and there's important things you need to know about. You can listen to the show today at 10 o'clock. Every Saturday, we have the one-hour Champions of the People injury show. We cover a different subject each week. The important thing about Xarelto this week is that Xarelto, within the past month, Bayer has come out with a brand-new warning. And all of these cases deal mostly, not exclusively, but mostly around the issues of warning. Was there a warning given to the public about the side effects or risks of the drug? And this is very, very important. And you can take the drug Taxotere. It's a drug that women with breast cancer take, and they did not warn that it would cause permanent, i.e. permanent, yes, permanent hair loss on women, and I will guarantee you that that's a very important item for women to know about. They didn't do it. And what's astounding, sometimes when you get into these cases, you find out the manufacturers, when you look at their memos of years ago, you look at their memos, internal memos, and documentation, and you discover that the conversations between themselves and the documents and the memos, in some instances, show things like, well, we can't tell the public about this, we can't put a warning, we can't do that, or we're not going to sell our product. When that happens and when it affects you and your family, it is very devastating. It is very aggravating. It is maddening. And so with Xarelto, now there's a new warning coming, or already came out within the past 1 month. What do you think the warning is? Well, we're going to cover a little bit of that in the show. We're going to cover it a lot today in our 10 o'clock KOA show. Also, today we're going to talk a little bit about the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission. Bob, let's cover a little bit what it is about, what the history of it is. How did it come about? What is this commission? What do they do? Because they serve a very important purpose, and I'm going to give you some specific examples here shortly.
We know it was created in 1972, Gary, through the Consumer Product Safety Act, and it reports to Congress. It's an independent agency's mission is to promote safety of consumer products by addressing unreasonable risk of injury through coordinating recalls, evaluating products, and they're not subject to consumer complaints, creating safety standards, conducting research into product-related injuries and illnesses.
I mean, so if you got a product, if you bought a product, and if the product is defective or dangerous or unsafe in any way, then the Consumer Product Safety Commission can get involved. And I'm going to enlighten you a little bit later in the show of how this works and why it's so important and what the actual resources are available to you, the consumer. But as Bob just said, the Consumer Product Safety Commission was originally formed in 1972, but it had a little bit limited powers. It didn't have such good funding, and then that was changed in 2008. And it is a widespread agency. But the legal question I want you to think about right now is, if you have the Product Safety Commission, how does it get created? What are the powers of it? Where do you go to find out? So if they make a rule, if you're a manufacturer, you're delivering a product to the consumers, to the public, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission makes a rule, or they challenge you, or they try to shut your product down, where do they get the power and authority to do that? And once the rule is enabled, is an appropriate rule, how do you get to the bottom of that and the genesis of that legally? Okay, join us live right now on KHOW is Paul from Pueblo. Good morning, Paul. What can we do for you?
Hey, Gary. How you doing? Hey, Bob.
Hey man. We're doing great.
You gave Brad the day off, did you?
Well, he's playing hooky today. What can I say?
There you go. Hey, I hear you guys on KOA all the time, and it's much appreciated.
Welcome.
I do have a question for you, though. I was in a car accident here about 2 weeks ago over on C-470 and got rear-ended. And I don't know how much injury there is. There is, I think, a little bit.
Right.
But the question I have for you guys is, you know, the insurance company's already setting forms and stuff and saying, we want you to sign this, blah, blah. And I told them, to hell with that. I'm not going to sign anything right now.
Right.
But the question I had is, how long should I wait to see if anything, any injury manifests itself? Might there be something? I don't know. But I was just curious how long, what you guys would advise.
Sure. That's a great question. I think a lot of people ask the same question. Okay, so... I think the derivative of the answer to your question lies in the medical scientific literature, and it's a dispute with insurance companies. So it goes something kind of like this.
Okay.
I'm the insurance company. Well, Paul, you say you injured your neck or low back, and that's usually what happens in a rear-end accident. You say that, but most people get over this in about 6 weeks, and I'll get to your manifestation in a minute. Most people, so it's expected that you get over it in 6 weeks. And that's where they go to eventually if you are reporting symptoms. They say, well, you're reporting symptoms 2-3 months later. You should have been over this. Well, should have been over it. The medical literature says that most people, not every person, is over it. And, Bob, what would you say about the manifestation of the symptoms? You know, some are acute. You have very acute injuries right on the spot. You have a broken bone. You have maybe a facet injury that's very painful. Some of them onset over the next few days.
Well, you know, Gary, after the accident, your body's so full of adrenaline, you don't really have an idea what hurts, what doesn't hurt. You know, maybe your head hurts, but you focus on your head, but not your back. It's going to take a couple, 3 or 4 days, I think, before you really understand or know what kind of injuries you might have.
I think that's accurate. So Paul, to answer your question head on, I think a few days. I mean, if you're dealing with what the insurance companies call a soft tissue injury, a strained muscle, a strained ligament, they think it's going to heal, but it should onset within a few days. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule. So if you're dealing with a physical, anatomical, orthopedic injury, it will onset either at the time, but adrenaline masks it, drugs mask it.
Sure.
But a few days, it should be there. However, there are certain injuries in this business that don't manifest themselves immediately, and they onset over time, and it's expected and understood that's what's going to happen. One of them is a concussion and traumatic brain injury or just concussion. Now, see, those have a whole constellation of symptoms, so they might not manifest themselves immediately.
Okay, so if we're talking, say, 3 weeks or a month and things seem to be okay, then I should just go back to the insurance company and say, yeah, you know, I had this little rush of pain in my neck and I got hit, but nothing else has shown up. I mean, I went to my own doc and they said, you know, we don't see anything, but sometimes this stuff takes a while to show up, so let us know if anything happens.
Well, I think, Paul, you got it right on the nail right on the head. If it's that way and, you know, 3 weeks a month, I think it's safe unless you have a concussion issue. And then that's a whole different separate conversation,
and,
but I think it's safe.
And, Gary, you know, at the scene of the accident, when the police officer comes up and says, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
Don't say,
I feel fine. You know, say something that, you know, I was in a car accident. My back may hurt. I'm not sure what my injuries are.
Well, time after time, we see people tell the police officer, and the insurance companies bring it up. Here's the accident report, Mr. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You told the police officer that you were not hurt. Of course you did. You know, people feel a little sore, but they don't want an ambulance. They don't want to go to the emergency room. They don't want that stuff. But I think you're safe, within the time period you just said. 3 weeks to a month, that's safe.
Then go ahead and just tell the insurance company it doesn't look like anything happened, and then just go from there.
I would say so, but I mean, you should legitimately, truthfully, truth always works the best in this business. So
yeah.
You should truthfully say, these were my symptoms, these are the symptoms. It looks like they're going to go away, whatever the truth is.
Yeah.
And then you settle it on that.
Okay, that sounds reasonable, guys. I certainly appreciate it.
Paul, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, tell Brad I said hey.
I will. Thank
Bye
you.
Now.
All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We're here for you. Bob Leonard of our law firm, Gary Bell right here. Brad's not here with us today. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We're ready to answer your questions on any subject. ChampionsOfThePeople.com is our website. All of our books are there. They're free. Free is for me, and free should be for you. We'll be right back.
Hey.
Welcome back. Here we go, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Fasten your seatbelt. We're about to take off. Gary Bell, Bob Leonard, right here for you. You can call us. We'll answer your questions. 303-713-8255, 713-8255. And welcome to all of our listeners. This show is simulcast on several radio stations. We appreciate your listening. As you know, we answer your legal questions and solve your problems on any subject, even though we're injury attorneys. It could be landlord-tenant. It could be estates. It could be dog bite. It could be traveling down the road. It could be an accident-related question, a product-related question. It doesn't matter to us. We've dealt with easements before. We've dealt with real estate issues before. We've dealt with wills before. So we'll be glad to help you and answer your questions. 303-713-8255. So Paul just gave us a call right before the break, and he was talking about the fact that he was rear-ended. He felt some symptoms. What was a good time for the onset of symptoms? So that leads us into the subject of quick settlements from insurance companies. He said the insurance company called him and wanted to enter into a quick settlement. Sometimes those are appropriate. Sometimes they're not appropriate. And so we're going to talk about that. But Bob, we got a statute in Colorado about contact by the insurance company to the injured victim. And so let's talk about that a little bit.
You know, Gary, there's a statute that protects us as victims of a car accident. The insurance company is not allowed to contact the insured person within 2 weeks of the accident under the care of a doctor. And if they do, anything that they say, that you say to the adjuster, is not admissible in court. So it protects you and me from things, you know, an aggressive adjuster. I've heard people, clients saying that they've had adjusters come to the house the day after the accident, try to offer, here's a check.
Right. So the contact is, but the critical words in the statute for everybody listening is that you have to be under a doctor's care, right? So what does that mean? Well, you went to the emergency room, maybe you went to your PCP, maybe you're treating with a doctor, maybe you went to a chiropractor, and so you're under a doctor's care, so they are prohibited by statute. I think many times they contact you anyway, they want to take a statement, and you need to think about that very carefully, right? Very carefully. But back to this quick settlement issue. So the insurance company contacts you, they want to make a quick settlement, and we've covered this before because they say to you, well, we're going to pay your medical bills. We understand your medical bills are $1,800, and we're going to give you $500 for pain and suffering. We're done. My question is that all the categories of damages they're supposed to pay you for? No. And the other thing is we've had several callers that called over the years, and our clients that come in and say they offered me a quick settlement, and we go through the records, and we find out, Bob, we find out that their doctor, what is the doctor's diagnosis? Well, I don't know. Well, are you still treating? Yes. What's the doctor going to do for you? Well, they're going to do some MRIs next week. So the point is they don't really know right now.
No, it takes a long time for you to really figure out what your injuries are. And, the insurance company wants to get you off the books. They want to get off cheap. And they're going to come, they're going to do whatever they can do to avoid paying a large settlement.
So then get you to have a sign a quick settlement. And I ask people many, many times, if you don't know what your diagnosis is, you don't know what your prognosis is, you don't know what the outcome is, and your doctor doesn't know because he or she is still studying it, MRIs, you still have pain in your neck, radiculopathy, you got radiating pain, you got numbness and tingling, we're still trying to narrow down the pain generator. If the doctor doesn't know, and if you don't know, then how in the world does the insurance company know what they should pay you? So the answer is what? They don't know. And all right, Judd from Rollinsville is joining us right now. Good morning, Judd. What can we do for you?
Good morning. So I had a guy pass me on a double yellow, and then he got angry at me for not slowing down, I guess. Stopped his Jeep in front of me, jumped out of it, and forgot to put it in park or forgot to put on the emergency brake. And as he was charging at me to get into a fight, his Jeep rolled back and hit my car. That's when he jumped back in his Jeep and fled the scene. So I got his plate, and he's admitted fault, and the insurance company came out yesterday to look at my car, and they said basically what they want to do is they want to total my car and give me the difference of the value of the car as they claim the value of the car and the salvage value or the value itself were at auction. And I got into it with the appraiser over what the value of the car should be. And he's obviously wanted to lowball me, and I'm sitting there looking at Kelly Blue Book saying, this is what KBB says the car's worth. And so I'm wondering what my options are. And when I, if I take this guy and his insurance company to small claims court, and I put a value on that car at small claims court based on KBB, or I put a value on the damages based on estimates, is that going to be overridden by some state statute that defines how value is assessed?
And to answer that part of the question, no, it's not. But you ask a fascinating question, and we deal with it every day. So let's kind of break it down to its components. First of all, were you injured at all?
I believe I may have been. It's a little difficult for me to say. I've got a pre-existing injury from about 3 years ago where I injured my arm building a retaining wall. But that injury faded away over time, but now it's reoccurred. It's basically what's known as golfer's elbow. So basically I aggravated one of the tendons in my elbow, and my hand and my lower arm has numbness.
Okay, well, all right, so very important issues, very complicated. It sounds simple, should be simple, but it's not. So you have a pre-existing condition, as insurance companies call it, as the law calls it. So can you recover for a pre-existing condition that was resolved? Yes. Yes, you can. It's governed by the Colorado Supreme Court called the McLaughlin case, complicated law. Bottom line is, if you weren't symptomatic from your pre-existing condition for a long time, whatever that means under the case law, a long time, months, maybe years, maybe weeks, then you have one set of laws applied to you. But if you were symptomatic up to the time of the accident, you can still recover, but a different set of laws. So don't have time on the air to go through that. That's the basic framework. But okay. But let's talk about your – and the reason I ask you if you were injured is because this happens all the time. People are injured. If you're not injured and you're just dealing with property damage, right, Bob, then you can go to small claims court. You go to small claims court anyway, but there's going to be a legal effect if you're injured and you go to small claims court, a court on your property damage. So let's talk about that just a second.
You know, the property damage, we separate the bodily injury from the property damage. And on the bodily injury, you need some help talking to insurance companies because they have a great advantage over you. On the property damage, you know, let's say they total your vehicle, they'd give you a price. It's a negotiation. You don't have to accept that first value of the vehicle.
Okay.
But the other thing, Judd, is I want to tell you, if you were injured and you went to small claims court on your property damage, here's the important part. You only get one legal bite at the apple, and that means you need to negotiate your car, your vehicle, not in court but out of court, because if you're injured, you're probably going to have to go to court. If you went to court on your car, then the doctrine of res judicata, that's what it's called, means you probably could not go to court ever on your injury claim because you had your one bite of the apple with your car. So it's very critical. That's why I asked you the question if you're injured. If you're not injured, and we went through the McLaughlin case, but if you're not injured, then you can feel free to go to small claims court. And then to further answer your question, yes, you can prove the value. Yes, you can. Yes, you don't have to accept their number. Yes, you can talk about Kelley Blue Book value. And if you go to small claims court, I always say this, just pretend you're, and we'll help you off the air as well, but pretend you're the judge. Okay, so judge coming here saying it's worth one thing, this person over here saying it's not worth that. So what kind of proof do you have? What kind of documentation do you have other than just your word? And let me give you some hints. Well, I had this car, and I'm just making these examples up. I had this car. I had it all fixed up. I had a rear-view camera on it. I had other cameras on it. I had a new sound system in it. I had new tires on it. I had new shocks and suspension, et cetera. So it's in addition, Your Honor, to the Kelley Blue Book value.
You know, there's many different sources. Kelley Blue Book value, there's Edmunds, there's Car Buyer. You need to get a comp, you know, go to three or four sites, figure out the value of the car is, and then go back to the insurance company. Like I said, it's a negotiation. You don't have to accept that first offer. They make you think you have to accept the first offer. But once so the value of the car, one of the other issues is something called diminution of value. A lot of people, they want to, you know, your car was in a car accident. It's obviously not worth what it was before. If you tried to trade it in, they wouldn't give you the value of a car that was not in a car accident. So that's another issue.
Well, I've seen that many times. We get to ask that question all the time. Well, my car, Mr. Bell, Mr. Leonard, my car's been damaged, my property's been damaged, and it's a diminution in value, it's lost value, but they don't want to pay me for that. No, they don't. They don't want to. So it goes back. They know that if you take the one bite at the apple, if you file a lawsuit on the property, then you're probably going to bar yourself from the injury part of the claim, And so it's a catch-22. So, yes, you can go to small claims court, judge. You can make the proof of your damages on the car, the value of your car. And you do that. You can do that. And I would talk to you off the air, but you do that only if you don't have an injury claim also. Am I making that clear to you?
It's clear. So the basic points I'm getting is if you have an injury claim, then you don't want to go to small claims court. You want to pursue that injury claim, and the property claim is secondary at that point, basically.
Well, yes, you want to pursue it through negotiation and get paid through negotiation, just not go to court.
Right.
As Gary was saying, you have the one bite at the apple. If you go to the small claims court, you'll be precluded from bringing any other claims in that case.
The other point I'm getting is, you don't. The other main point I'm getting is you don't have to take what the insurance company is telling you at face value.
No, you don't have
to. When their adjuster told me yesterday, well, if you go to court, you're not going to get any more than what we're going to offer you. That's BS.
There's no
value that's set by some defined method in statute.
No, you're not bound by that.
Which is the way he wanted to make it sound yesterday when he was talking.
Absolutely not true. You're absolutely correct.
And, you know, the gap, too, if you had a loan on the vehicle, they're not going to cover. They're not going to pay you the gap. They'll pay you the value of the car. So you have a $10,000 car and an $8,000 loan. They're not going to pay you the $10. They're going to pay you the $8.
Hey, Judd, do you have more questions? Because we're going to have to put you on hold. We got a break coming up. If not, we'll let you go. Which way would you like it?
I'll stay on hold here. I guess you
okay, all right. Very good. All right, you stay on hold. We'll catch you on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget, today at 10 o'clock, the one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show. We're talking about Xarelto. We're talking about the new warning that Bayer has just put out on Xarelto. It's a blood-thinning drug, and you need to hear this. Bell and Pollock, we'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Bring up your legal bagel, your legal coffee. We're ready to rock and roll. Bell and Pollock. There's Bob Leonard and Gary Bell right here for you. And join us live right now is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking?
We got some new specials to go on now. We do have still the pumpkin spice pancakes. We are going to run those all the way through the month. In fact, we might even run those all the way to Thanksgiving. Pumpkin spice pancakes, they are scratch made. That is one of our breakfast specials we're going to run for the rest of the week. Our other special is a two-egg omelet. We're going to put some pork chorizo, some sauteed onions and mushrooms in there. We're going to load that up with a side of hash browns. As always, you can get our scratch made red or green chili put right on top of that, and that does come with your choice of toast, flour, tortilla, or pancakes. And again, those pancakes are scratch made. They are buttermilk pancakes. I always recommend those on the side. That is the other breakfast special for the rest of the week. We're going to run the good old club sandwich for lunch. The good old club sandwich on toasted white bread, ham, sliced turkey, lettuce, tomato. As always, you can get a little bit of our homemade chips or our waffle cut fries on the side of that, or a combo of the two. That's a popular choice here at Caitlin's. That will be the lunch special all week. And guys, don't forget, we are still going strong every Monday and Friday from 11 to 2 with the all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It is all-you-can-eat. It does actually include a non-alcoholic beverage in the price of that. Those are also scratch-made products on there. Tons of good stuff to come check down at Caitlin's. Flat screens are on. I think the umbrellas are going to be up. The weather is going to be gorgeous in Colorado for late October, so we're going to take advantage of that. We got mimosas for $13.50 crafts to provide for customers who want that as well. Tons of things to come check out down at Caitlin's today, guys.
Hey, Eric, I think when you talk about pumpkin spice pancakes, you're just hitting Brad Pollock really hard in absentia.
Absolutely.
Because he's not here right now, but I'm sure he's listening.
I'm sure he is, and I've got him for him if he wants to come down and check him out.
One more thing. So the Broncos play tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning, so could somebody come down and eat breakfast and watch on the big screens?
Absolutely. We got tons of sports on. The Broncos will be on. We got tons of things to do. You can bring your dog and sit on the patio if you're not into the sports. But we're always supporting the Broncos down here. The girls wear the Broncos gear down here to help support the team. So let's go. They need us behind them, and let's get it done.
Okay, Eric, where are you located?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, come and check us out. I promise you'll love it every bite of the way.
All right, Eric, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Have you guys solved the problem, the question now? I talked to you about earlier the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission. Can they make a rule to affect your business? Do they make a rule to protect consumers and customers? What if you don't like the rule? What if you say they don't have the power to make that rule? I don't want them making rules or rulemaking on my products. What about elevators that drop in buildings and crash? What about refrigerators that catch on fire? What about toasters that explode and catch on fire? I don't like that rule. Have you guys answered that yet? All right, we were talking to Judd. Judd, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. So, okay. You know, I thought of something else during the break.
Sure.
So I told the insurance company about my belief that I might have injured myself here. And so they did set up a claim for that. And they want to meet with me to discuss the next steps in that. I'm wondering, should I be meeting with them individually? And then if I need to contact a lawyer, or should I be having a lawyer go to that meeting with them?
Okay, so, you know, I'll be glad to talk to you off the air at length about this, but I don't think you really need an attorney right now.
Okay.
I just don't think so. But
okay.
I don't think you need to meet with the insurance company either. Listen, a lot of people don't understand this relationship. So they think, I'm the insurance company, and I tell you, Judd, well, you know, I can't adjust your claim unless you help me. I can't adjust your claim unless you give me some forms and sign my forms. I can't adjust your claim. I can't even pay you. I can't even help you unless you talk to me and give me a statement and fill up my few forms. That's not true. If you're injured, you have no relationship with them. You have no duty to them. They want the information. They want to give you nothing. So I don't even think you need an attorney right now. You need to take care of yourself and see where your symptoms go with your doctor, between you and your doctor, right?
Okay.
And then... And if they persist, then I think you should call an attorney and find out what you're going to do with the first meeting or what you're going to do with talking to the insurance company.
Okay.
And you know, another thing, they always ask for your Social Security number. They say, oh, we got to have the Social Security number in order for us to report to Medicare or Medicaid or whatever federal state agencies. You don't have to give them your Social Security number at the first meeting. If you get the case settled, you may have to give it at that time, but don't give any personal information like Social Security number or other confidential information to them because they don't need it at that point.
So, I think you're doing good. I don't think you need a lawyer. I think if your symptom persists, you do. And you certainly don't need to talk to the insurance company at all.
When you say persist, what's the length of time that you're talking
about? I'm talking about maybe a few weeks because they have these studies that say that you should be over these things in 6 weeks. That's not true, but that's what they say. So I'm saying a few weeks. But the other thing, Judd, you really bring up some great points because you can talk to them and should talk to them about your car, right?
Yeah.
And the value of car. Now what they're going to do, what they do all the time, and we say this on the radio shows all the time, what they're going to say is, I'm your property damage adjuster. Let's say, Judd, and you're talking to me, and we're talking about the value of your car, and I say, well, now, were you injured? What does that have to do with my car value? Well, I mean, were you wearing your seatbelt? Yeah, where were you wearing your seatbelt? I want to talk to you about my car. Was it your neck? Did you have a pre-existing condition? What does that have to do with your property, right, Judd?
Two separate things.
Yeah, two separate things.
Hey, I wanted to compliment you guys here real quick. Also, 5 or 6 years ago, I called you guys with a property issue having to do with an incorrectly filed easement. An easement that was filed after the fire owner was put on notice that they were going to be foreclosed on. And that foreclosure notice was filed with the county clerk. You guys ended up referring me to Gibbs & Young. And that worked out quite well, actually. So I wanted to compliment you guys on the air for that. That all worked out, and I ended up recouping all my legal fees associated with eliminating that easement.
Man, what a story. You're so welcome. And you're proof positive, living proof that we've done one right thing in 5 to 6 years.
So there you go.
Thanks, Judd.
You're welcome.
Okay, we appreciate all of your calls. You can call us at 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Today, 10 o'clock, every Saturday, 10 o'clock for 1 hour, the Champions of the People Injury Show. This is not just glossing over the subject. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty details of whatever subject we're talking about. I mean, we did one whole show on emotional recovery, of emotional damages. Let's say you had no physical orthopedic injuries. You had no anatomical changes, but you can't get over this. But you might have a concussion, but you might have PTSD. Is that real? Yes, it's real, of course. Do you get it from car wrecks? Of course you do. Do you have flashbacks? That's just like one subject we covered on the Saturday show. Today, we're talking about Xarelto. We're talking about the Bayer new warning. Xarelto is a blood-thinning drug. What do you think that new warning would be, right? What do you think that new warning would be? And I want you to ask yourself this question. Sit down, take a sip of coffee, ask yourself the following question. If this drug has been marketed to consumers for years with the original warning, what prompted the new warning within the past few weeks? If you want the answer to that, you can listen to our show today, Champions of the People Injury Show. Bob, I want to talk a little bit more about this quick settlement stuff. Okay, we were talking about that. We had one caller on that, Paul. And so they want to make a quick settlement. But the bottom line, always figure out if you don't know what your diagnosis is. I mean, sometimes you go to the doctor, you say, my neck hurts, and they say, okay, here's some pain medication, muscle relaxants. Go home, let's see how you do. If you come back, still hurting. Now I got numbness and tingling down my right arm into my, what they call digits, into my fingers, right? So, well, we don't know yet. But if we don't know, how can we settle?
We can't settle, Gary. That's ridiculous. Think that, you know, within 2 or 3 days after an accident, you're going to know what your injuries are. You know, get yourself to a good doctor or you go see your PCP. The one thing you do is you have to treat. If you have a case and don't treat, the insurance company is going to say you weren't hurt. You need to really watch what you tell the insurance company. But I think one thing we always, you got to treat and find out what's wrong with you. If you don't treat, you're really giving up a lot of your rights.
Well, the insurance company call it gaps in treatment. But many people, they don't really want to go to the doctor. It interferes with their life. I mean, they hurt. Their neck hurts. They got symptoms, right? But they think it's going to go away. Legitimately. We talk to people like this all the time. It's going to go away. And so I wait. You wait. You don't go to the doctor. And then eventually in 6 months you find out, wow, this isn't going to go away. My doctor told me I'm probably going to have to live with this. I have to adjust my lifestyle. You make a claim and the first thing insurance company says to you is you didn't go to the doctor. You didn't treat, so guess what?
You don't have a case, Gary.
Yeah, that's what they say. We're not going to pay you. All right, don't forget about the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. Barry and Larry, they run their boot camps. Very knowledgeable. They give you buyer's answers, seller's answers. You want to listen to them. Bell and Pollock, Bob Leonard, Gary Bell. We'll be right back. Here we go. You can call us 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. We have a new second edition of the very first book we ever wrote. That book was entitled Don't Get Hurt Twice in the Same Accident, Once in the Accident, and Again on the Insurance Claim. Really? Now we got a second edition. It's new and improved with much more information in there. One of our popular books is the one, The Definitive Guideline of Colorado Car Insurance. You know, what you can do today is point your legal compass to true north right now with your car insurance. You don't think it's important? Make the call right now. You know, that book, if you get that book, it's free. We'll give you a hard copy free. But in that book, we have all kinds of picture examples of policies, language, with arrows drawn to the most important language to highlight it for you. With arrows drawn to the most important parts of the declaration page to highlight it for you. So it's easy to read, and it's easy to understand. It's all free. You can download an e-copy at our website, championsofthepeople.com. So, Bob, one of the things in that book, our Colorado Car Insurance, is that we emphasize that you today, right now, raise your UIM limits as high as possible. But why?
Well, first of all, Gary, UIM stands for uninsured motorist coverage or underinsured motorist coverage. You know, in Colorado, the limits are $25,000. $25,000 doesn't get you nowhere. I mean, if you get wiped down in a car accident, you can't survive if someone gives you, if you only have $25,000. So you need to protect yourself. So the way you do that, you buy underinsured or uninsured motorist protects you. In my opinion, that's my soapbox topic. You need to protect yourself. You know, liability is one thing, but how are you going to protect yourself if someone wipes you out and causes severe injury? Unless you're out of work for a year or several years, how are you going to cover that lost income? What if you lose your job? What if you're hospitalized? I mean, there's all these things that you need to protect yourself by buying uninsured motorist coverage.
And you can do it right now. And so, you know, we see it every day. It's so sad. It's so sad. Mr. Bell, what can we do? Mr. Leonard, what can we do? The other person said they didn't have any insurance. They got out of their car and said, I'm sorry. I don't have insurance. Please write them a ticket. How does that help you? It doesn't. Or my very favorite or unfavorite, if that's a word, it just drives me crazy, is they get out of their car, they hit you, they rear-ended you, they give you an insurance card, and you call, and they say, well, that insurance policy expired.
You know, Gary, I have a situation now where the limits were 25, 50. So the first number is the maximum that each one individual get in a recovery, and the second number is for the whole accident. The limits were 25, 50. There were five people involved in the accident. Five people. And my client didn't have any uninsured motorist coverage.
You can protect yourself with getting your highest UM/UIM limits. I've said many times, if you want my own copy of my own personal declaration sheet for my own car policy, I will send it to you. Just call the studio right here or call our law firm. But you can call right here at 303-713-8255. I'll send it to you. Now, I don't think anybody that's driven on I-25 in the last 24 hours, I saw it late last night coming back home from the Avalanche game. I saw it this morning coming to the studio. There is a hit and run on the posted. It's a Dodge truck, right? Blue silver, if I remember right. And somebody even got the license plate. It's posted. There it go. We wrote a book called Cowards of the Street, and they are cowards. Hit and run. There's a perfect example. I don't know what the tragedy is, but I'm sure it's a tragedy. So they're looking for the hit and run vehicle. If they don't find it, what happens? Okay, well, yeah, there's criminal liability. If you injure somebody and you leave the scene, that's a felony and potentially many other counts. But what are you going to do? There it is, right there on I-25. And so what you're going to do is you're going to default to your own car insurance policy to the UM, uninsured motorist. That's an uninsured motorist event. You are going to protect yourself. You are going to protect yourself by getting the highest limits possible.
You know, Gary, also, we as your attorneys, we're going to find that insurance policy for you. You know, just because, you know, maybe you only have a $25,000 policy, you may have a relative lives in the same household with you that has insurance that may cover your case. One of the things I always tell my clients, if you have a liability umbrella on your house, some of the insurance companies offer liability umbrellas that have like $1 million worth of uninsured motorist coverage. Buy it. You need it.
You would be surprised at the relatively cheap premiums. I mean, if you can afford it, buy it. If you can't, we understand, right? So that thing that's happening on I-25 with this Dodge Silver truck, I'm just wondering. I saw it last night. I saw it this morning. They're still looking for this driver. Hit and run. Left the scene. Most of the time, these hit and runs, these cowards of the street, absolute cowards, they hit people, they maim them, they kill them, and they leave. But many times, it's in the dead of night, right? And nobody can get the information or the identification information. Now, that example, what happens if they find the driver? This one, they got a license plate. I mean, usually you don't have a license plate. You usually don't have a good description, but this one, they have a license plate. What happens to the insurance part if they find the driver? Bob, can you make a claim against the driver and that driver's insurance company for a hit and run?
I would certainly try to. You know, I certainly would make a claim against them. The insurance company may balk. They may say it was an intentional act. Maybe they'll find some reason to try not to pay. But there again, if you need to have your own insured motorist coverage to protect yourself, you should have some recovery.
Of course, you make the claim against the hit and run driver's insurance company, and they don't like the fact they're insured. The person who committed the hit and run left the scene, maybe committed multiple felonies, maybe misdemeanors on top of that felony situation. So that's something you have to look at. Now, I want to switch gears just a little bit and go back to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. If you have a defective product, a toaster, a blender, any kind of defective product, you need to report it. You can go online and report it. And you can go to cpsc.gov. You can go to saferproducts.gov. You can see what's been recalled in the past 1 month. It's important. the Consumer Product Safety Commission regulates these products and protects you. But many of these companies, when you have a toaster that explodes and injures somebody or burns your house down, right, and you start to maintain a legal action, and what does the company say that manufactured the toaster? Well, we didn't know. We never knew there was a problem. But if somebody across the country has reported to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, then they do know. It's charged. They're charged with the knowledge, and they're informed by the Product Safety Commission. And so there is knowledge, and there is help. And you can help yourself, and you can help your family. You know, I don't ever use personal stories in this, but I got to tell you one right now. About a year ago, I got up in the middle of the night. I heard this horrendous noise in my kitchen. I couldn't believe it. I thought somebody was in my house, and I was about to call 911, and I looked around the kitchen, and my blender just turned itself on. And it was just rocking and rolling. It was that loud. And it was starting to, it didn't create a fire, but it was starting to smell that way that it might create a fire. So what do you think we do? We report that to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Because the next time it might be a fire. The blender, folks, just turned itself on.
And, you know, the database has stuff. If you have a question, you can research it on that database to find out if there's a product that you have you think might be dangerous.
Exactly. I mean, things like the Children's Gasoline Burn Prevention Act, the Federal Hazardous Substances Act, you know, Flammable Fabrics Act, the Poison Prevention Act, the Refrigerator Safety Act.
What about all those kids who are injured by dressers falling over on top of them?
Right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. All the information is there for you. We're here for you. You can call us during the week and get any of our books free. You can download an e-copy free, or if you call our law firm, we'll send you a hard copy. And I'll send you my own personal declaration sheet. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. See you next week.
Happy Halloween.